T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Slow motion for me, slow motion for me, moving slow motion for me. Ooh, I like it like that. She working that back. I don't know how to act. Slow motion for me, slow motion for me, slow motion for me, moving slow motion for me. Ooh, I like it like that.
Hey, very good Friday morning to everybody. Welcome here to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Dave Hyde, once again filling in for Joe Rose and Zach Krantz. Hope everybody had a terrific 4th of July. We got Matt the Biff Wilson with us as well. We'll take you up until 10 o'clock. And Dave, I don't know how many people are taking this Friday off. This is a popular long weekend for folks, but I know there's a lot of people going back to work today. So I'm sure that we're going to be a lot of people who are coming off the holiday. We had people over yesterday and everybody was like, man, I wish today was Friday, right? I mean, because everybody was like, hey, let's have fun, 4th of July, and then next thing you know, I got to go back to work on Friday. Now, the smart people planned ahead and just took Friday off.
I think most companies...
Most companies do.
I'm going out, I have a column to do after this, because I'm trying to keep the economy going. You know, I'm an American. I have a work ethic. But, and I talked to an editor yesterday, and they said, well, tomorrow's a holiday, so we can't get a photographer there. I said, wait a second, tomorrow's a holiday? And I'm working, and you can't get a photographer there. So, but the good news is driving up 95, I almost got in about 3 accidents, meaning there's more people on the road today.
Than yesterday. Okay. Well, yeah, I'm glad you're okay, because we do have...
That's normal. That's about the over-under for a drive up 95.
Very true. Yes. I mean, every day when we come to this station, it doesn't matter which direction you're coming from. It can be perilous at times, even if it's not raining. Now, with that being said, so you're going up to Del Rey. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But what are you going to do? Resort to just taking pictures on your phone?
Probably, yeah. I'll do a little video, do some. So I'm going up at Coco Golf.
Yes.
Del Rey Beach, 15-year-old, is in the 3rd round at Wimbledon in the surprise story of the tournament. And there's a watch party up there for her, among family and friends, and I'm going to crash it and do a column on it.
That's great. I mean, this literally is the story of the tournament so far, outside of, I guess, what happened yesterday with Nick Kyrgios and Rafael Nadal.
Which was a fun... I'm not a huge tennis fan. That was a fun match to watch.
It was. I didn't see the whole thing. I saw some of it. I saw the first of the underhand serves, and I was like, oh, man, this is going to be interesting. I obviously saw the highlights and stuff. We'll talk about it. Biff is working really hard right now. He's going to get some Kyrgios sounds. We're going to have that coming up in a little bit. But did you have a good 4th of July yesterday? You really downplayed what you were going to do.
I did a minimal 4th of July,
okay,
which was I heard the fireworks.
That was about it?
That's it. I heard, do I want to go outside and look at the fireworks? Nah, I'm good.
Okay.
So I really didn't. I had a hamburger.
Very American.
As American.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about the extent of my big 4th of July. Besides working. Come on. We're American. We're working on a holiday, right?
There you go.
That's a salute to our forefathers right there.
Did you get a good nap in after the show?
Absolutely.
Yesterday?
Got in a nice deep nap.
Okay. Good. That's important. Yeah. So yesterday we had people come over and the plan came through. And I said yesterday.
You were cringing.
Well, that somebody was going to come at 10:30. And it was, I think, 10:50. The first person arrived. So I thought I was going to get home, and I got home and I told my fiance, I said, I'm going to sleep right now before anybody gets here. But of course, she's getting ready for people to come over, so I've got to help
do
her.
A few things.
Yeah,
right,
you know, yeah. I can't, you know, with a clear conscience, like, just go to sleep.
See, if you were married 20 years, you could do that.
Yeah.
I'll see you.
I haven't gotten to that point yet, so we got to get to the wedding day first. But I'm helping her out and all this stuff, and then next thing we know, somebody has showed up, and we had a really good time. People came over. It was great. But what was interesting about it is that, you know, some of the folks, since she's from Colombia originally, we had some people over, and, you know, even though they've been in the U.S. for a long time, they'd never seen the hot dog eating contest. And so I wasn't necessarily like, I have to tune in, like, this is must-see TV. But I was like, well, you've never seen the hot dog eating contest? And I was like, well, at this point, we at least have to watch part of it. Because, and so at this juncture, I'm like, hey, we got to turn this on. And so we see the big introductions for Joey Chestnut and the whole deal. And then he goes out and eats 71 hot dogs and buns.
Did you watch it?
We watched it.
You watched it.
Watched the full 10 minutes.
Were you not nauseated by it?
Oh, it was disgusting.
I put on the ESPN website. Or because I was curious, I didn't even know what time it was, so I went to ESPN.com, and I had missed it, I guess. But there was a video of Joey Chestnut, and it started rolling as you go on the site, you know?
Yeah.
And I had to cancel it out, because it was just nauseating watching it.
It was really, it's disgusting in many different ways, not just the fact that he's eating so much at once, but also they're dipping the buns in the water, and then like
the cramming,
yeah, the cramming in his mouth, and then there's like remnants of the bun and the hot dogs that are all over his face and all this stuff, and then, I mean, it's just way too much. And then I still, even though this happens every year, and you know, I was reading a little bit about this, Dave. They're talking about the history of it. The Eat Off started in 1972, so they've been doing this for a long time on Coney Island, but I'm still amazed at the number of people who show up to watch this. Like, first of all, why do you want to watch this, right? Like, it's hard enough to watch on TV. The second part is some of these people are like way in the back. You can't even see what's going on, but you're like, oh, I'm here and I'm wearing a hot dog on my head because Nathan's was handing out these like hot dog hats. And like, that's what you're doing. Like, it's a 4th of July tradition.
I might get a hot dog hat. I like the idea of that. But maybe they were just at Coney Island. Hey, what's going on here? And I can't imagine going to, hey, let's do our 4th of July tradition. We do the hot dog eating contest. We go watch that. Then it's fireworks.
So, right. Yeah. So
how did your visitors who had never maybe even heard of the hot dog eating contest look at this?
Yeah, I mean,
they're from other countries.
Yeah, so they were. We had some folks from Colombia, some folks from Venezuela, and some Americans as well. But they were, I think, disgusted. And I think what I did to try to break the ice with it, Dave, is that since I am, you know, the American, I just flat out,
you're the gringo.
I broke the ice and I said, hey, this is like, isn't this the most American thing, right? Like, I didn't want them to feel uncomfortable saying that. I was like, this is the most American thing. We're celebrating these people gorging themselves with food as if it's like the greatest thing in the world.
This is what John Hancock signed for.
Right.
Right here.
Yes. We have our independence so we can do things like this, and we can put it on TV, and 30,000 people will show up that will wear hot dogs on their heads and celebrate these people who can do these superhuman feats in terms of how much of this crap they can just shove into their bodies.
71. That was a staggering number. And I don't know. I heard actually driving in here on the show right before us, the national show,
yes,
that 74 is the record.
74 is the record.
So he came close,
mm-hmm,
but he couldn't, you know, he didn't have that championship appetite. Right. You got to want it. You got to be hungry, right? You got to want the fourth quarter. He didn't come through.
But I have to say this, Dave, outside of, you know, the visual, and it can be, you know, nauseating and uneasy to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really got a kick out of the broadcasters, and I don't know who they were because I was just watching, though, and so I didn't catch their names, but the broadcasters were hilarious. And on the bottom, they had this count going of how many hot dogs the top four competitors were eating. There were like 15 people up there on stage, and they're all eating, but like the top four they're keeping track of to see the leaderboard. And then above how many hot dogs they've eaten, they also have the hot dogs per minute pace that they're on.
The pace.
And it's updating in real time. And I'm thinking, my goodness. I mean, in all of the other sports, we talk about these advanced metrics and all the statistics, and they even have it in competitive eating where they're live tracking these things. And so you're seeing Joey Chestnut at some point, he's averaging like 9 hot dogs per minute. And then they're talking like as he gets like 6 minutes into the 10-minute thing, they're like, oh, his pace is slowing down a little bit here. This is what we anticipated. This is what he was expecting based on his training and all this. And I'm like, they're calling this as if it's an actual sporting event, like we would like talking about Kawhi Leonard and his load management during the season before he gets ready for the NBA playoffs.
Do we get anything like style or technique or
there's some
anything
of
anything like that?
Yeah,
that,
I mean,
that beyond verbs, like, you know, like the good play-by-play announcers comes up with, you know, verbs, you know, for he made the shot, you know, Eric Reed with kaboom. Or right. Do we get anything like that for a hot dog? Kaboom! Kaboom!
I think it's happening so fast that they can't keep up.
Yeah, but yeah. There's no.
There should be something.
There should
like
be
that,
some
yeah.
signature.
Down the gullet, right? Just each time.
Doggone!
Dog, yes. We got some good catchphrases here. I think we can make some t-shirts out of this. Now, Biff, I see you back there. So I know that you got some Joey Chestnut sound for us.
Working hard here
he
on the
is.
Fifth.
He is all over the place.
His face looks a little flushed.
There's nobody else in the building, so he's doing the work for like 4 different stations.
I'm DJing at Power 96, also you want to turn over
yeah.
to
I was wondering why his head's bebopping.
Yeah, he's going back and forth to the studios, and so, you know, next time you need, there's a Drake song playing, and then he's also playing Joey Chestnut for us, and, you know, he just keeps going back and forth. Now we
and some Luke Bryan at Kiss 99.
Okay, good. Yeah, make sure we keep everybody happy. We get all the demographics down. Biff, if you don't mind, we got Joey Chestnut yesterday, and so you mentioned 71 was his number, Dave, and 74 is the record. Well, you've already called out Joey Chestnut to a certain degree to kick off the show. I got to admit,
you got to be a closer. You got to close that out.
He's a great competitor, and most great competitors, they've got high expectations for themselves. Most will say the cliche that, you know, I am more disappointed in myself than anybody else could be, and now I'm going to go back to the drawing board, or words to those effect. Well, this is what he had to say after he finished with 71, 4 shy of a record.
I was going for 75. I always love to get a new record. You look at everybody out here. They wanted a record, and they're out here standing in the heat. We'll see. Yeah, hopefully next year I'll come back and I'll strategize and I'll figure out a way to do it.
Strategize. I would hope the announcer came back with a follow-up question, was listening to the answer and came, strategize. What different strategy could you take? What possible, you know, like Ray Allen, when he hit that championship shot, we heard afterwards the years of practice and the you know, he'd be lying down on a practice floor, jump up, catch the ball, and immediately shoot.
Yes.
Things like that. What would Joey Chestnut, what would his strategize for practice be, you
well,
know?
Well, I'll say this before we answer that, you know, very, very meaningful question, is they described as he was entering the stage that I think he had, like, his last big meal Sunday night, and then he had a protein shake on Monday. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, he fasted and only drank water.
Does the stomach shrink a little, though?
We're
talking 4 hot dogs worth.
Well, that's
of
what
shrinkage.
I'm saying. Is it?
Is there a Seinfeldian shrinkage going on there?
I don't know. We better be careful, though. You're talking hot dogs and shrinkage. We may get our FCC license revoked here.
Watch it, Dave.
He'd come up from a Drake song to say
yeah.
that.
Biff just reemerged from the Power 96 studio to make sure you were in line. But so I heard that, and I'm thinking to myself, well, perhaps you fast only for a day and a half? Maybe you cut that down?
Or 3 days. You know, what do we know?
One way
what
or the other.
Like most sports writers, we don't know the sport.
But we act like we do,
we do
right?
Yeah, right?
We
just talk.
Pretend. I don't know, but 75, I'm sure everybody was disappointed that showed up, that they did not hit that number, but it was, I would say, a cultural experience yesterday, Dave, with the people over at the house. They're watching, and then they're like, oh my gosh, I did not know that this was part of American culture, and they were probably not only disgusted, but they would have been better off not knowing if I had just left them in the dark on that. But Joey Chestnut won his 12th Nathan's hot dog eating contest. He's only lost once since 2007. So he is now, I guess he's first all time in this competition, certainly. And Kobayashi used to be the big name you heard, but he has absolutely put him in the rearview mirror. And what's appropriate is that as we got into the studio this morning, the 30 for 30 documentary was on. They were just finishing that. So I got a chance to check out a little bit of that before the show began. Biff, since you've been so busy, what did you do on 4th of July? Dave had a very subdued day. What did you do on 4th of July? You may have gotten a little sun.
Yeah, we had a couple of buddies come over to my place, and we hung out by the pool, grilled, you know, had fun.
Okay. Did it get out of control?
No, not really. There weren't that many people there.
Okay.
Well, you hung out by the pool?
We did what we call pooling and booling, which is like, you know, hanging and chilling out by the pool.
Pooling and booling?
What's the booling?
What's the booling? What's that?
It's just a thing we say. It's just like a thing we say. It's like us chilling.
Just because it rhymes?
Basically, yeah.
What about pooling and cooling? I would get that. Like you're cooling.
But it was hot outside.
You're chilling.
So you can't really be cooling at the...
Are you saying booling because it's like you and your boys? Like the...
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Was it that or did I just...
No. That's actually it.
That's it. Okay. All right. I didn't know if you were just going with it because that's... He's like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. That sounds better.
I mean, I kind of... It makes it easier to explain.
Okay. Pooling and booling. Well, I'll say this, Dave. I don't know if I had a faux pas or not, but I joked about this yesterday, and this actually happened. So I didn't get the nap in. People are over watching the hot dog eating contest. We're going to the pool and all this stuff, and then like late in the late afternoon, early evening, we had been eating snacks and stuff, but then we ate like a meal, and at that point, I hit a wall. Right, like I felt like there was like a 5-year-old there, and he was like in the pool all day, and like he at some point hit a wall. I felt just like the little 5-year-old, and so I get on this like big float that was in the pool, and I literally fell asleep on the float until my future mother-in-law like woke me up, and she said, "Greg, just go inside and like go to bed," and I did, and so like I woke up like 2 hours later. And half the party
was gone.
It was gone. It was perfect. Now, a couple people stayed, and we watched some fireworks. And the fireworks, like, you described a view that you could potentially have watching over the water. We don't have that, like, in the neighborhood. So there's some, like, neighbors were, you know, setting some things off. But I did catch some of the Macy's spectacular last night, and that was spectacular. I don't watch that every year, but they set off the fireworks in New York, and that was absolutely
phenomenal.
You
could see it from here?
There were so many fireworks. Macy's did not spare on the budget anything. But
wait, you watch fireworks on TV?
I did last night. I didn't expect to, but I just happened
now,
to.
Now, someone, I sat on my couch and listened to the fireworks. Okay, and I imagined them. Okay, close my eyes, hear them pop, 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 pop. I imagine, but you watched them on TV. Why didn't you just put on what's the best fireworks show ever, and put that one on
YouTube?
Yeah,
like
you're right. Yeah,
last night was pretty darn good. I don't know if anybody else caught it. It was from like 10 to 11 last night before the local news on NBC, and it was phenomenal. They had all sorts of patriotic music going along with it, and yeah.
Did you see a fireworks store in Fort Mill, South Carolina, I believe, had a fire, and it's on Twitter. And just stop there for a second. A fire at a fireworks store. What could happen? You could, and it was the greatest fireworks show perhaps ever.
Unintentional, right?
And someone caught like 45 seconds of it and put it on Twitter.
That's really funny. I saw you tweeted that or retweeted it. Now, there was actually something serious that happened last night. It ended up being nothing, but for fireworks at least, the city of Miami fireworks that everybody shows up at Bayside or Bayfront Park, it was cut short. Did you read about this?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, so it was supposed to be, I think, like a 20 or 30 minute fireworks show, and 10 minutes in, they cut it short because there was a bomb scare. There was a suspicious package, and so there's all these aerial shots from people who live like in the high rises down there of people down below in the park all scattering because there's all these police officers there. Thankfully, it ended up being a false alarm. But then I see all these quotes in the Sentinel and the Miami Herald, and I saw the local news last night, and the people who were in charge of the fireworks have been doing it for years, and they got apparently got the call. And they got the call saying, hey, we got to stop. And at first they're like, oh, no, this has got to be some like sort of prank or something. And then they realized, no, this is serious. So everybody showed up down there for a big fireworks display. And
for
like
10 minutes.
10 minutes in, wow. It was cut off. And then I don't think anybody really knew the full story until well after the fact. So,
what's more American, hot dog eating contest or bomb scare making people flee? I mean, there you go. I hope your visitors didn't. Can you imagine just somebody drop down into our society at this point, and or the video? What survives video? The hot dog eating contest. You know,
it's like yeah, you're right. What's going on with the human race right now? All right, Dave, let's take a timeout. Just getting started here. We are going to have Mike Florio join us in the 9 o'clock hour from ProFootballTalk.com. Looking forward to that. Okay, I mentioned that something serious happened. Something did seriously happen in the world of sports yesterday, which we want to talk about. It's got a local angle to it. So we'll come back and discuss the unfortunate and horrific news with Kendrick Norton. That'll be next year on QAM. Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. A very good Friday morning to everybody. Greg Likens alongside Dave Hyde filling in for the big dog and Zach Krantz. Matt Wilson with us as well as we continue on here. Hope everybody had a great 4th of July. As always, if you want to join the program, you can do so via the Kendall Toyota West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22. 560-22 is how you get involved in the conversation. And we're having some fun with 4th of July and the hot dog eating contest. The first segment, we were going to get to some very entertaining, we don't say this often, right, but very entertaining sound from the world of tennis a little bit later on. But Dave, unfortunately, we got some really bad news just after we got off the air yesterday. And it is involving Dolphins defensive tackle, former Miami Hurricanes player Kendrick Norton, who had to have his arm amputated and remains hospitalized after a car crash in Miami early yesterday morning. And his agent announced on Twitter, among the things he said, quote, "With sadness, I can confirm that Kendrick Norton was in a car accident last night and suffered multiple injuries, including the amputation of his arm," end quote. Florida Highway Patrol said that Norton's 2017 Ford F-250 was heading west on the Dolphin Expressway around 1:18 a.m. near the Palmetto Expressway intersection when it hit a concrete barrier. The truck flipped, and when it stopped, was on its roof. Norton's left arm suffered the injury, and Miami Beach Police said two off-duty officers and an emergency medical technician were able to give life-saving, as they're describing it, life-saving aid until Miami-Dade Fire Rescue could arrive. FHP also said a Maserati was involved, but driver Jesse Pena was uninjured. The crash investigation report is not yet available as of late last night. A family friend of Norton said his vehicle got cut off before it flipped. He was at the Ryder Trauma Center at Jackson Memorial Hospital with the injuries that are serious but not life-threatening, according to NFL sources. And in addition to the left arm injury, Norton was also bleeding from the back of his head. The Dolphins released a statement on social media yesterday. It says, quote, "We were made aware of this morning of a serious car accident involving Kendrick Norton. Our thoughts and prayers are with Kendrick and his family during this time," end quote. And, you know, I think it goes without saying, Dave, that unfortunately this is going to be a career-ending type of injury whenever you hear something like this. It sounds like he's very fortunate to be alive with the severity of this. But for those who don't know, he was expected to fight for a roster spot in Dolphins training camp this year. He was a 7th-round pick by the Carolina Panthers last season. The Dolphins had signed him at the tail end of the 2018 season from the practice squad in Carolina, and of course was a standout player with the Miami Hurricanes, and over 3 seasons at UM out of Jacksonville's Trinity Christian Academy. He played in 37 games, started 25 of the 26 games as a sophomore and junior, was voted third team All-ACC by the conference coaches as a sophomore, and ended his 3 years with the Hurricanes with 18 tackles for loss and 5 sacks. And the indelible image I always have of him is against Florida State when he had a sack and he was pretending to play the guitar. Like that,
on the guy's leg, yeah. on the person he tackled leg.
And, and like I feel like you see that pop up on social media all the time, especially when the Hurricanes fans are talking trash and, you know, back and forth with the Seminoles fans. But really, really horrific description of what happened there, and really sad to hear that a guy who's so young is now suffering such an injury.
Yeah, and the details are gruesome. I believe Andy Slater reported first that his arm was amputated at the accident scene.
Right.
And so you balance between someone did some heroics to save his life out there. You know, was it off-duty EMS?
Yeah, described there were two off-duty officers from Miami
officers,
Beach Police,
okay,
and an emergency medical technician were the ones who provided the life-saving aid.
Yeah, amid the tragedy, there were some heroics evidently to save his life.
Yes.
And yet, I just can't imagine being in an accident at the scene, having to amputate somebody's arm right there. So, if you're a UM fan, Dolphin fan, you root for Kendrick Norton. Kendrick Norton fan, you root for him to, you know, he's got a long life ahead.
Yes.
And it won't be with football, at least on the playing field. Maybe UM, maybe, you know, there's another avenue with football for him.
You hope so. And you saw that Manny Diaz had tweeted about that. And so I saw on the news last night that there were a bunch of current and former Hurricanes players who had been in and out of the hospital to try to visit him. I don't know what condition he's in, if he's able to take visitors, but they were there certainly to support. And that was one of the things that popped in my mind last night, Dave. I'm thinking, man, this guy is 22 years old, and he's losing an arm when he's attempting this career in professional football. And so you wonder, you know, if he's got his degree and what that's in, if he's going to go back to school, because he did leave a year early, and if he can get into coaching or, you know, something like that. Because, you know, I know that it's easy for us to say, and especially, you know, when you get old, as you get older and you remove yourself from your college years, it's easy to look back and say, oh, well, it's important to get your degree. You never know what can happen. In the moment, when you're playing at a high level on the University of Miami football team, you're getting ready for an NFL career, I'm sure you're solely focused on that and trying to be as good as you can and see where that goes. You're not thinking about other options, right? So there's that balance between preparing yourself for life after football, but also knowing you have to have this singular focus to be the best you can, to try to make a team, to try to make a decent living. So I don't know where he is along that path, but I was thinking last night, man, he's got to come up with something else now, because this was just absolutely just ripped away from him.
Yeah, and it, you know, there will be a, you know, a time for him to, before he can really hop back into whatever he's going to do. But I'd hope UM is there to, and I'm sure they will be there to, you know, he couldn't, I'm sure didn't have his degree, but they're, hopefully they'll give him a path to get it and get some new direction, I guess, because I'm sure all his energy was being put into making the NFL, as a lot of these players are, mm-hmm, especially if you're on a roster, training camp roster. So, you know, it's going to be, whenever stories like this are, the question is, okay, what next for the kid?
Right.
And as he's 22, a lot of years, and, you know, you just hope he can recover mentally as well as physically from this.
Yes, for sure. And so you brought up the heroic side of things. Somebody texted in about this, 56022, says, what happens in an accident that they decide they have to amputate an arm at the accident scene? How do they do that? Well, that's something that crossed my mind as well yesterday when I'm reading the details of this, and you accurately point out, Dave, that clearly, you know, we can interpret, I think, fairly that if these you know, off-duty folks don't get there in time, then perhaps this is worse than it was. So you have to give them credit for that. At the same time, when you hear you have to amputate an arm and it happens at the accident scene, the first thought that came to my mind is, how do you make that decision? I mean,
right,
obviously these people are trained and they know what they're doing, but that's got to be a really – they don't know it's a football player, but if for anybody, like, to imagine amputating a limb at the accident scene and making that snap decision.
And it must have been just a obvious decision for them.
Right.
You know, if you're an EMS person, you've been in situations. If you're an off-duty police – if you're a policeman, you've been in situations. And – And Yeah, you know, but the weight of having to make that decision still, you know, and on the other hand, you saved somebody's life.
Yes.
I mean, that's really the heroics coming to me that, you know, thank God they were there. Somebody was there to who with the knowledge and ability to make not only the decision, but to, you know, amputate an arm. And so, you know, we'll have to wait for the details to come out on all stuff like that. But you know, if there's a good side from this, we're not talking about someone who died in a car accident.
Right. And, you know, the other thing is, Dave, I know we kind of joke about it, but and you kind of light in a very lighthearted way said, hey, on the way up here to the station, almost got an accident three times. But it's like I was thinking about that, like even when you said that, I was like, it's true. I mean, that's life. I don't know how it is everywhere else. I can tell you that moving down to South Florida, I think that, you know, from the Midwest, it felt like the drivers here were a little different. And it just seems like that's something that we've become accustomed to. But, you know, I don't know what the circumstances were here. It was 1:18 in the morning is when, you know, they got to the scene and all this other stuff. But I don't think it matters what time of the day you're driving. There, something like this can pop up to Kendrick Norton or anybody else.
And we've all had something happen where it could go either way.
Right.
Right? And fortunately, you know, 99% of the time it goes a healthy way, but you know, whatever happened here is something that it could happen to all of us at any time on any of these major highways. Now we'll have to wait for the report to see what comes out,
right,
for the details. But you know, you got to be on your game when you're driving on the highways.
You certainly do, and heck, I'd argue off the highways as well. Man, there's some side streets around our station here where sometimes they go one way and at other points they're two-way road. And I can't tell you the number of times getting to the station that people are driving the wrong way on a one-way street. And I'm looking around like, you know, is anybody going to do something about this? And thank goodness I'm paying attention, because otherwise, you know.
I was just down in the Keys for vacation the last couple weeks. How quiet and tranquil and for the most part, you know, not a whole lot of traffic in my driving down. Then you come back here and you know, it hits you. Whoa, here we go up 95.
No more vacation mode anymore, right? Well, anyway, we wanted to talk about that. It's certainly a big story that emerged yesterday. And for Kendrick Norton, his friends and family, we're thinking about him for the Miami Dolphins, for the Miami Hurricanes. You know, there's going to be a lot of support, but certainly a very horrific, horrific accident that took place yesterday. And so hope everything turns out as well as possible, considering the circumstances. Dave, that was a relatively serious segment. When we come back, we want to lighten things up a little bit. We've referenced this earlier, but Nick Kyrgios is a mercurial star on the tennis scene, and many say that he is much better than what he has actually accomplished on the court in terms of his physical ability, but he tends to get into all of these confrontations. There's all of these issues with him, and yesterday that reputation popped back up when he was facing Rafael Nadal. We're going to hear from Kyrgios. You will not want to miss what he had to say after the match. Stay tuned. We'll have that next year on QAM. We're back here on this Friday morning. Greg Likens alongside Dave Hyde in for the Big Dog and Zach Krantz. Matt the Biff Wilson on the other side of the glass will take you up until 10 o'clock. In the 9 o'clock hour, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk will join the show. Looking forward to catching up with him. Dave, we are getting some texts coming in about the Kendrick Norton situation. We'll read some more of those when we get into the 7 o'clock hour. If you want to text us, Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line 560-22. 560-22 is how you join the program. But You know, I don't think like something big has to happen if we're talking a lot about Wimbledon or any of these major tennis events, just by the nature of talk radio. And so between Coco Gauff, which we'll talk more about her as the show goes on, because you're going to do a story on her for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. But then that situation has been a big story. And anytime there's an American, there's a story and a young player, that's always great. On the other side of things for the men, there was this highly anticipated matchup with Rafael Nadal and Nick Kyrgios. And so, Dave, I know you follow tennis. For anybody who in our audience that does not know who Nick Kyrgios is, or maybe, you know, isn't familiar, what is his reputation?
He's the bad boy of tennis. He would be like John McEnroe of this era if he won. Okay. I mean, I'm trying to think who would be the football or basketball, like a Matt Barnes, remember him?
Yeah.
But that's
would
going back
like,
a few years
would
in
be
basketball.
Like a Johnny Manziel in football or something, kind of the bad guy. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's a he goes against all civic and gamesmanship norms in tennis, which frankly I love. Because you get, here's Rafael Nadal, who's the ultimate pro, the ultimate champion. I think he's won 18, 19 majors. The ultimate guy who is a tennis lifer and dedicated everything to the sport and handles himself with class and properly. And now you have the contrast, the younger, Kyrgios is 24, but he's built this reputation over the last 5 years or so. So of being of not working hard enough, of not living up to his talents, of not dedicating himself, and on the court of being so anti-tennis almost that it's very enjoyable to watch. I mean, it's very – the contrast makes it great viewing for even me. I like tennis, which I equate to civilized boxing. You know, these guys want to beat the crap out of each other, but they have all these rules that they have to follow. Kyrgios doesn't follow all the rules.
He doesn't. And a lot of people probably just familiar with some of the viral videos that emerge from him when he's arguing with like the umpire. And even just recently, earlier this year, he got so into it that he threw his chair out on the court and walked off.
Bobby
mid-match.
Knight. Maybe Bobby Knight back in the day would be a good, you know, he's a mix of Manziel and Knight. And you can go down the list of any bad boy you can come up with.
Yes. Yeah, so this is kind of, I guess like bad boy, Bill Laimbeer type of player. Right. But he goes against the grain, to be sure. And so yesterday, Rafael Nadal is playing against Kyrgios, and during the third set of the match, Kyrgios aimed a forehand at the 18-time Grand Slam winner, and Nadal was able to deflect it with his racket. Nadal glares at Kyrgios, and I guess the customary thing to do is if you hit somebody or come close to hitting somebody, that you just at least acknowledge it, you wave, maybe you apologize in between, you know, the games. And Kyrgios just kept playing like nothing happened. And so the result of this was a four-set win by Rafael Nadal. But then afterwards, there was this
With two tiebreakers, though, in the set. So it was a close
– very competitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. But afterwards, Kyrgios just held court at his press conference and touched on a number of different topics, including, I believe, his work ethic, which you already described was lacking something in terms of him trying to really regain or live up to all his potential. And also, he was asked about if he tried to purposely hit Rafael Nadal when he was at the net. So take a listen. Here are the best clips from Nick Kyrgios yesterday at Wimbledon.
I'm a great tennis player, but I don't do the other stuff. You know, I'm not the most professional guy. I won't train day in, day out. I won't show up every day. So there's a lot of things I need to improve on to get to that level that, you know, Rafa brings, Novak brings, Roger have been doing for so long. So it just depends how bad I want it. But no, at the moment, I don't think I can contend for a Grand Slam.
So you don't want it badly now?
That's two questions in a row. Wait your turn. You were at the pub last night.
Yes, I know. You were, man.
Okay. Okay. That's a little. Yeah, sorry. This is awkward. I don't care. Why would I apologize? I mean, dude's got how many slams? How much money in the bank account? I think he can take a ball to the chest, bro. I'm not going to apologize to him at all.
Did you aim it straight at him?
Yeah, I was going for him, yeah. I wanted to hit him square in the chest. I mean, the umpire today was horrendous. I mean, he was terrible.
What about him was terrible? Just the way he wouldn't pull up right from the top?
I don't know, like, I'm serving and I'm, like, starting my routine and then Rafa says stop. And I'm like, the rule is, like, play to the speed of the server. So I'm like, well, why do I have to wait for him to get into his, like, rhythm every time? Then I got angry at the ref. He's like, nah, I'll tell him when I want to tell him. And I was like, ooh, a little bit of a power trip there. I love him. I love the media. Like, I love doing the media.
Yeah?
Yeah, you guys are so nice to me. It's amazing. Like, you guys are the best. You guys don't brainwash anyone. No, I'm being serious. You guys don't brainwash anyone. It's always facts. Love it.
All right. There's Nick Kyrgios, the best from yesterday. Among what you heard there, he admits right off the top to not working hard, that he cannot contend for a Grand Slam right now because he just doesn't work hard enough.
He's honest.
He is. Right? I actually found that part refreshing.
And it doesn't mean, evidently, tennis doesn't mean that much to him, which, look, potential is a dangerous word for anybody, right? And we love to say in the media, he didn't live up to our potential. How many of us live up to our potential? All right, in anything, and maybe he's got other things going on in his life. He's made that's more important to him. So, you know, for years people would get on Serena and Venus Williams, the tennis people, for not playing every match, not playing every tournament, for being very selective in their they don't take it seriously enough. They're into Serena, I believe, fashion, and they had all these other side interests. Well, maybe that's prolonged their career. I'm not comparing Kyrgios to Serena and Venus. Serena and Venus won championships throughout their careers, won majors. For whatever reason, it's not that important to Kyrgios. If I could do one aside, though,
yes.
I've been in those Wimbledon press conferences. They are great theater. They're great theater. You got all the international. First Wimbledon I covered, I walked into the press room where we work, and there's all these international press. There's the Italian section. There's the, you know, the French writers. There's the English writers. I sit down, and I put my bag down and just pull out my computer. And just as going on, security's walking around with a, you know, bomb sniffing dog, and the dog stops at my bag, and all these media, you know, who I don't know them. They don't know me. All these international media look at me. The dog puts its head in my bag, a big German Shepherd. And I'm like, holy crap, what's going on? And he pulls out and he comes back. And he's got a ham sandwich in his mouth. And he goes running off down the hall.
The bomb sniffing dog.
I like made all the English papers that day. But what I was getting to, the press conferences are great theater in Wimbledon because of the, first the stage of Wimbledon, but then you have all the mix of Martina Navratilova. My favorite give and take in a press conference ever happened there, where Martina Navratilova is going through this long press conference, just jam packed, and it was I believe her last Wimbledon singles, and at the back of the room, one of the tabloid reporters, Fleet Street reporters for London, stands up and says in the loudest voice, "Martina, are you still a lesbian?" And there's dead silence. Like, I'm like, oh my God, what a question. And Martina, without missing a beat, she looks at the guy and she says, "Are you still the alternative?" It was the greatest comeback in the history of sports press conferences that I've ever seen. So Kyrgios is in this press conference. And I can envision the great theater going back and forth where he says, "Oh, you've already asked a question," you know, and that, you know, look, in the media, we appreciate, you know, humanity or comedy or lightheartedness and honesty. So I look, Kyrgios is being very honest there. Yeah, I was hitting the guy. I was trying to hit Nadal in the chest. And I love that. You rarely get that raw honesty, and you know, people know how to answer quick. No, I wasn't trying to hit him. You know, just one that got away. You know,
right.
Or you know, about hey, I'm doing the best I can in my, you know, I'm working hard. And it, no, he didn't go down that route. I love that.
It was refreshing how honest he was. Now, I'm not sure what the number of slams that that Rafael Nadal's won and the amount of money he has accumulated over his career, what that has to do with whether he can take a ball to the chest.
Right.
Because it's like he could have just left it at, yeah, I tried to hit him at that. But then he's like, well, you know, with the number of tournaments he's won and the amount of money he's won, like, yeah, he can take a ball to the chest. It's like, well, what is that? Like, if you're playing against a different opponent that isn't as accomplished, like, they can't take a ball to the chest? That part I wasn't quite sure. It was entertaining, but I'm not sure what the rationale was behind that.
Now, yeah, there is some background. I wish he'd gotten into this because I watched the match, a lot of it, up to that point. And Kyrgios was upset with the umpire, which he alluded to. He took a shot at the umpire.
Yeah.
But in the match itself, he was yelling at the umpire because Nadal was stalling. He was trying to get in Kyrgios's head by, you know, there's a time limit between serves and da-da-da. So when he fires the shot at Nadal, I think that's, you know, there was a lot of buildup. It wasn't like that shot came out of the blue.
Right.
That, and I wish he had talked about that look, he's playing games with me. I'm going to play games with him.
Yeah, and listen, Dave, I you know, I don't play tennis very often, but when I do, I have no control of whether I hit somebody or not. You know what I mean? Like, but these guys are pros, so you would understand that even if he gave the excuse that, oh yeah, just that one just got away, while that is something that's realistic, it's also like these guys are so good. Most of them train so well, they can put the ball, for the most part, wherever they want. But I guess my question is just in general, and you're alluding to the idea that, you know, kind of the tennis etiquette snobs, all this stuff, like they're offended by this. But, you know, Kyrgios being a bit of a maverick already, but the idea that, you can earn, if it hits your opponent and he doesn't get the racket to it, you earn the point. And I know that's kind of against the code and what you're supposed to do, but I don't understand why people are so up in arms about this. Again, you know, we talk about this with the unwritten rules in baseball and, you know, some of the old school thinking. This seems to be the same kind of vibe I'm getting from the tennis folks as well.
Yeah, and I guess the answer, and I wish Patrick McEnroe, who I was listening to the match, I wish he'd got into it, explained, because I'm like a casual fan, you know, I like tennis, but I don't watch all that much of it. Or I wish he had explained why you can't do it. And the obvious thing is, look, you're going to hurt somebody.
Right.
You know, you hit somebody in the face, you could take out their eye. You could do a lot of things. But explain why guys don't do that, why that's not acceptable, and retaliation for that. Is there retaliation for it? And will that go around the tennis scene that, look, like, this is what this guy does?
This guy's, you know, dirty.
Right. So, but I was disappointed. Patrick, man, I love his commentary, but I wish he'd got into that at that moment because it was such a, you know, it's such a flashpoint in their match.
Yeah, and a great opportunity to educate those that were curious about it. And yeah, you wish he would have taken advantage of it. But Nick Kyrgios, man, providing some entertainment for sure. So that's good stuff. We're going to talk. I do want to get into the big story of Wimbledon so far with Coco Gauff, and you're going to be doing a story on that. We'll talk about that as the show goes on. We're also getting some texts here, Dave, about the Kendrick Norton situation. So we'll come back. We'll kick off the 7 o'clock hour with much more. Stay tuned here on 560 WQAM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.